Hello, everyone. Okay, let's try that again. Okay, that'll wake you up out there. As you're being seen, those that will, come join us at the altar for prayer. Father God, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone who's come here today. Lord, we just want to pray that your Holy Spirit would descend on our service. Lord, let everything we do be for you and about you, Lord. And just pray, God, that your will and your way would be done here, Father. We want to continue to pray for all those who have lost so much in the aftermath of this hurricane, Lord. We just pray, God, you continue to provide for them, Lord, materially, and in every other way that they need it, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Be acceptable in your sight. And all God's children said,
amen. Amen.
Okay, so our morning hymn, let's turn to page 506, and you can remain seated for this song. I apologize, I made an error in sending the songs in. So for our morning hymn, let's do In Christ Alone, page 506. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Now let's all stand for our offertory hymn, page 499. 499, Victory in Jesus. We'll sing all three verses.
Calvary to save a wretch like me.
our service this morning, Lord. Just be with us now as we take up this offering and let us take it from you, your will and your word. We just ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand for our praise hymn, page 581. We bring the sacrifice of praise. 581. Let's stand as we sing. Down, please greet each other in God's love. And Miss Vicki will have our Children's for Children's Church today.
Thank you. that you're pleasing now, never alone. Your good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
See everybody this morning. Everybody doing good?
Amen.
Amen. Glad to be in God's house today.
Amen.
Well, we certainly want to continue to be in prayer for all the people down in Florida and, well, really all across a lot of the southeastern U.S. and even on up toward the northeastern part of the U.S. because there's been a lot of damage and destruction by Hurricane Michael. We had to leave. We were down in Panama City Beach. We had to leave actually on Tuesday. We got out ahead of it, so we're thankful for that, but Mexico Beach and some of those areas, pretty much just total destruction and devastation. And guys, you know, sometimes God allows us to see His hand at work
so that we understand just what power God does possess. Just imagine not having a home to come back to. I mean, we've got a lot to be thankful for, amen?
Amen.
We've got a lot to be thankful for, and I'm just praying that we'll continue to be in prayer for them, and that all the provisions that they need will be met. How many of you read your text for today? Anybody? Okay, some of you are lying because it's supposed to be 2 Chronicles, not 1st. Amen. 1 Chronicles doesn't have a chapter 33. I just see if I catch anybody today. Did anybody notice that? And now y'all raise your hands, okay? All right. But it actually is 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, verse 1 through 7. Yeah, I opened that up. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, something in right here. But anyhow, we're gonna get there. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to read the first 7 verses of 1 Chronicles chapter 33. Second Chronicles. Thank you. I'm looking at my text and I've got it wrong still. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 1 through 7. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Father God, I just ask, Lord, you please add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, let these next few minutes be nothing about me, but let it be all about you and for your glory, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Hezekiah was a godly king. He made it a point to tear down all of these high places that were there, these idols and these places where idols were being worshipped. But his son, when he took over, his son Manasseh, who ended up reigning for about 55 years, he was anything but a godly king. In fact, he went right behind his dad and he reconstructed these places. He brought back graven images and idols, even so much as to put one in the house of God, just to almost slap God in the face and say, hey, I'm not going to listen to what you have to say here, Lord. So you see how the nation of Israel went from one godly king back here to a very ungodly king. And guys, that's what's happening all around the world today. I mean, we have places where God is revered, but we also have places where people could care less about God. People don't have any concern about God. That is what's going on in our text here today. You see, Hezekiah was reaching for the Lord. He was trying to get where God wanted him to be. He was trying to obey what God had called him to do. But in reality, when he stepped down, his son took over, then everything just took a 180-degree turn and went in the opposite direction. How many of you have seen that in the history of our country? We're doing that right now. We're taking a reversal. We're taking God out of places that he was always welcomed at some point in time in the history of the United States. And we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why our country and our economy is up and down and things aren't going right. Guys, I'm telling you what, if you don't have Jesus in the rightful place in your life and in the center of this country, this nation is going to suffer. Amen. It's going to continue to suffer. And things are going to continue to get worse. As long as we keep pushing God further out on the perimeter of this country, we're going to struggle. And that's what was happening here in Israel. But guys, I want to tell you this. God wants your high place to be a holy place. He wants your high place to be a place separated from the world. You might say, well, preacher, how do we do that? Because we're in this world. We're right in the middle of it. Yes, we are in the middle of it, but we don't have to be of this world. Amen. We don't have to to be following all the things that are going on. You see, Manasseh, what he did was, the people were worshiping God. They had God in the forefront there because of what his father Hezekiah had done. But he goes and he undoes everything. Sounds like what's happened in a lot of things here, to a lot of things here in the U.S., doesn't it? I mean, we've taken prayer out of the schools. We've had so many different things that have happened over the course of history. Why? Because godly people stood by and allowed it to happen. You realize that? These things were passed and these laws were invoked not because of the mass millions of people who were in favor of them, but because of the select two or three who opposed them. And guys, that's what's so sad. That's why it hurts me so bad when I see how we can stand out and we can protest for all of these things that we know are wrong and that God doesn't support and doesn't want to have any part of. But yet when it comes to standing up for Jesus, we want to get quiet, don't we? We don't want to speak up. We don't want to hold up a sign that says God has a right to be anywhere he wants to be. No, we don't want to do that. We want to step back and we don't want to offend anybody. You see, that's what was happening in our text here today. But guys, I'm going to tell you this. I believe there's three areas that we need to be aware of if we're trying to reach the highest level we can with Christ. I believe there's three areas we need to focus on. The first one is this. You need to know what your dreams, visions, and goals are. You need to know what your dreams, visions, and goals are. You know, I ask people a lot of times, I ask young people at school a lot of times, what's your 5-year plan? Hey, look at me like I'm crazy. 5-year plan, I'm just trying to survive 5 minutes, amen? Forget about 5-year plan, I'm trying to get 5 more minutes here. Guys, you got to have goals. You got to have plans. You got to have a vision. Because somebody without a vision is lost. They're like the Israelites out in the desert wandering around. If you have not set a game plan for yourself, young people, listen to me. Some of y'all fixing to graduate. You better have something in line. You cannot just waltz out of here and just throw your hands up and say, uh-oh, what do I do next? We got to have goals and we got to have visions and we got to have dreams. And guys, guess what? God allows us to fill our lives with these goals and dreams and aspirations of what we want to accomplish. He rejoices with us when they come true. The only thing that Jesus is asking is that we keep him in the forefront of all of these things that happen to us. That's what he's asking us to do. Are you giving God credit for the successes in your life? Are you blaming him for the failures? You see, that's the way some people are. They'll give God the credit when things are going good and they're going to blame him as soon as something bad happens. That's not the way it should be, is it? We need to rejoice in everything. In everything, give what? Thanks. Say it, folks. In everything, give what?
Thanks.
We ought to give thanks in everything. Give thanks for the good things. Give thanks for the bad things. Because you see, it's those bad things that are going to help us get to where God wants us to be. Amen. Trust me, I've seen it in my life before. I would not be in the position I am right now if nothing but good things had happened to me. I wouldn't be up here if some bad things hadn't happened to me in my life. You know why? Those are the things that molded me and shaped me. And you see, if you want to reach to be all you can be for Christ, you're going to have to let some molding and some shaping be done in your life. That's a definite, that's a give me right there. So God doesn't mind us having all these dreams and goals. But guys, God reserves the high place of all of our dreams and visions and aspirations. God deserves and wants the highest place in all of those things that we're seeking to have. These are all great things, but we got to put God in his rightful place.
Amen.
Guys, I want to ask you a question. What do you consider the number one goal in your life? I want you to just take a minute and think about it. If you're awake, say amen.
Amen.
If you're asleep, don't say anything. Okay, amen. I don't know if some of you are awake or asleep. Anyhow, that was a catch-22 situation, right? There was no right way to answer that one. All right, guys. Think about that question I just asked you right there. What do you consider the number one goal in your life? Well, I'm going to tell you, your number one goal ought to be having Jesus at the center of your life. That ought to be your number one goal. Having Jesus at the center of your life, every other goal or desire must fall below that ultimate goal of having Jesus Christ as the center of your life. Guys, I've seen it happen. I've heard the success stories. I've heard the stories of failure from people. And the people that come and tell me their stories of failure, one of the first things I ask them is, where is Jesus in all of this? Where is Jesus in your life? If you are failing and you're miserable and things aren't going right for you and you're a born-again believer, where is Jesus? Because you see, if you can't answer that, then guess what that tells me? You don't know where He is in your life. He's got to be in the center of your heart. He's got to be the centerpiece of everything that drives you. Guys, where's the motor of your car located? In the center of the car, right? It's not over here to the side. It's not stuck out in the middle of the car. It's in the center, right up front. You know why? Because that's what's going to drive you. Just like Jesus ought to be in the center of your heart. That's your engine right there that keeps you moving in the right direction. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. That's the engine that keeps you moving. You got to keep Him in that right place in your heart. You know what the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew? It says, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. And guess what? All these other things are going to be added unto you. God's going to take care of you if you seek His kingdom and seek His righteousness. What does it mean to seek the righteousness of God? You've got to be like God. You've got to want to be like Him. You've got to want to act as He would want you to act. We got to do the things. If we're going to reach all we can reach for Christ, we have got to let God be in the center of our heart. We got to let Him be at the center of that. Guys, God wants to bless you with good things. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe God wants to bless you with good things? I hope everybody does, because He does. He wants to bless you with good things, but only if you will give Him the glory and the honor for those things. You know why more people don't get blessed? They don't thank God for what He's trying to bless them with. Amen. And let me tell you something. Don't you expect God to keep blessing you over and over? You don't give Him any credit. You don't thank Him for it. I try to instill in my kids over and over and over again, I don't care if somebody gives you a flake of whatever, you tell them thank you for it. You be thankful for everything you get in this world. Because you know what? Nobody owes you anything. Jesus doesn't owe you anything. But He did it anyway. Amen? He did it anyway. Shouldn't we be thankful for that? Shouldn't we be thankful when people do good things for us? Guys, in everything, give thanks. Always remember that. That's so important. Parents, instill that in your kids at a young age. It just hurts me when I see kids come up and you do something for them, they don't even say anything, just take it and leave. You know what that tells me? There's been some parenting that hasn't been up to par. Because I'm going to tell you what, you need to instill in your kids the need to be thankful for things that they get. And I can promise you this, when they get old and your grandkids come up there and sit in your lap and thank you, Grandma, thank you, Granddad, you're going to just be beaming with happiness, aren't you? Why? Because you set the tone. You sowed the seeds and now you're reaping the benefits of that harvest. Be thankful in everything. The second thing is this. Guys, you got to recognize where your heart is. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you treasure in life? Just think about it now. I'm wanting to get out on a serious connecting level with you here today. I am not preaching at you today. I'm preaching to you today. Amen. I want you to connect with what I'm saying here. Where is your heart? Because where your treasure is, your heart's going to be following right along with it. You just got to ask yourself this question. What do I treasure in life? Do I treasure serving God? If you do, it's going to be evident. Or do I treasure serving man and everything that this world has to offer? That too will also be evident. Now guys, I'm not saying you shouldn't go out and have fun. I'm just saying you shouldn't put it ahead of serving God. Amen. You should never let that get ahead of you serving God. There's ways to have fun and still be able to serve God. We've made it a point now when we go on a vacation, we're going to church somewhere on Sunday. Now, I didn't used to always do that. But you know what? I got to thinking, here I am preaching to people about the importance of serving God, and what would it look like if the preacher went down there and didn't even do it himself? So I made it a point to do that now. And I'm going to continue to do that. You know why? Because I believe God expects it of me. He doesn't expect me to just take off and do whatever I want to do. I've got to continue to serve Him no matter what's going on around me. Guys, where's your heart? God commands us to love from our heart. I believe that's one of the problems we have in the world today. There is not enough love in this world today. There's not enough love. Oh, there's surface love. Oh, I love you. Thank you. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, they're good people. Oh, blah, blah, blah. But guys, I'm going to tell you, when it comes down to real, true love, we don't have enough of that in this world. Amen. There's not enough love. I'm talking about godly, agape type love in this world today. If there was, you wouldn't be turning on the TV every time you turn it on and hearing about this person got killed, this person got raped, this person got assaulted. You wouldn't be hearing about all that. When's the last time you turned on the news and heard nothing but good, positive things? I don't think I ever have. Has anybody ever heard that? I don't think you're going to hear it. You know why? Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where love is not at the centerpiece of this world. But guys, I'm telling you, we got to learn to love like God has commanded us to. We are to love our neighbors. We're to love our friends. We're to love our spouses. We're to love our children. We're to love our parents and anyone else with whom we have contact. Now, I didn't say you had to like them. I didn't say you had to buddy-buddy with them. But I did say if you're a born-again believer, you have to love them. Because if you don't, you don't have the love of Christ in you. And I would strongly have to question whether you are even a born-again believer. Now, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? But that's the truth, guys. If you are going to have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, you've got to be able to show love. And you've got to be able to show it sometimes in situations where it's difficult. It's hard to love some people, isn't it? Let's just be honest. How many of you would agree? It's hard to love people sometimes. I agree with you. It is. And you know the only way that we're able to love some people sometimes when they really don't deserve it? Because of who lives inside us as a born-again believer. Because of the Holy Spirit of God living in your heart. That's the only way you can do it. That's the only way someone can forgive someone 20, 30, 40 years ago for something that happened to them. That's the only way that parents can reconcile with their kids when they split apart. That's the only way this world is going to ever heal is when the love of Jesus comes back in it. Amen? And it's got to happen, guys. It's got to happen. It's even okay, guys, to love your car, love your pets, love your clothes. That's okay. But first and foremost, we must have a love for Jesus Christ. Amen. You can love all these other things. That's okay. But your true love should reside in Jesus. Anything or anyone that takes the place of our love for God is an idol, and it is evil in the sight of God. It's evil in the sight of God. Anything you put ahead of serving God is an idol. I've said this many times, guys, but let me reinforce this here today a little bit. Guys, an idol doesn't have to be a carved, graven image that you sit on your counter and just bow down to. No, there are many idols in our lives that have no image. They're things, they're entities, they're people, they're situations. These can all become idols if we're not careful. It doesn't have to be this little image that you sit up here on your tabletop and just hum at and do all whatever else you do at those things. But guys, I'm telling you, we have a lot of things that become idols in our life. And you know what the scary thing is? I bet you that of all the people in this auditorium, in this congregation here today, I bet you some of you don't even realize you've got an idol in your life right now. I bet you some of you don't realize that there are things that you're cherishing and putting ahead of serving God right now. But guys, hey, you can put those behind you. You know, Jesus loves us. Let's be honest here. One of the things that I think really keeps a lot of believers from getting back into a right relationship with Christ is they just think they've done something so terrible that God won't forgive them. There is nothing you have done that Jesus won't forgive you for. There's only one unpardonable sin, and that is the sin of rejecting Jesus. That's the only thing you will not be forgiven for at the end of your life. There is nothing you have done. I don't care if you're the worst serial killer, the worst rapist, the worst child abuser in the world. Jesus will forgive you. And He will cleanse you. And He will heal you. And He will save you. Amen. How many are glad for salvation? Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. If it wasn't for what Jesus did for us, none of us would need to even be in this building right now today. we'd all be able to just go and do whatever we wanted to do. Guys, Manasseh may have said that he loved God, but he placed other things ahead of serving God. He put idols even in God's very house. Guys, if your heart's in the right place, you're going to tear down and you're going to remove any idols that are in your life. If your heart's in the right place. Now, sometimes we don't. Do you think we really set out to purposefully erect idols in our lives and create idols in our lives? No, we don't do that. But guess what? Certain situations allow them to come into our life. And if we're not careful, before you know it, we're going to conform to these idols and we're going to start following these idols, whether it's a thought or an activity or someone in your family or your job, whatever. We're going to follow them. And a lot of times it's totally unconsciously and it's totally innocent in the beginning. But guys, we gotta be aware of that. We gotta look for that. Anything that you love more than Jesus should be removed and reorganized in your life, if not gotten rid of totally. Guys, I'm gonna be honest with you. Some of us need to take a step back and we need to ask Jesus, Jesus, do I need to keep this in my life? Is this keeping me from being all I can be to you and for you? If it is, you may just need to get rid of it altogether. Now, if it's something you just need to reprioritize, hey, you might probably be okay with it. You just need to get it in its rightful place. Okay? Guys, I'm going to tell you this. If you want to know if you're reaching for Jesus, then you need to ask yourself one question. One simple question. What do I love the most in my life? What do I love the most in my life? If you say your children, you're in the wrong place. If you say your spouse, you're in the wrong place. If you say your job, you're sure as heck are in the wrong place. If you say relationships you're in the wrong place. You know what the answer to that is? Who should you love the most in your life? Jesus wants first place in your life. That is who you should love the most in your life. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Guys, let me tell you something. If you love anything ahead of Jesus in your life, then you've got to reprioritize your life before it's too late, before you start spiraling out of control and things start going down for you. Because that's what's going to happen, guys. When you get God, family, and everything else out of order, then your life gets out of order. Your life becomes disorganized. You get it in the right perspective, man, I'm not going to say everything's going to be a bed of roses, but I can tell you this. You're going to be moving in the right direction, amen. You're going to be moving in the right direction. Second or third place is not going to cut it with Jesus. He wants you. He wants to be numero uno in your life.
Amen.
Amen. He doesn't want second. He doesn't want third. He wants to be at the center of your life. And the third and final thing is this, guys. We need to recognize where our standards are. What do you think the moral fiber of America is these days? Pretty bad, isn't it? Pretty bad. I mean, I hear of people trafficking children for illegal and indecent purposes. I mean, it's just terrible. Terrible at where the standards of America have stooped to. Where are our standards? Where are your standards? That's something we need to examine. See, Israel was set apart to be God's people. But Manasseh, when he came into power, he lowered those standards. He went right back to the very idol worship and all this other stuff that was going on prior to him taking his dad taking the throne. His dad, Hezekiah, got rid of it. He brings it back. So you see, what kind of standards are those? I'm going to tell you the same thing can happen today. Guys, if your standards are where they need to be, you're going to be a holy person. I'm not saying you're going to be a perfect person, but you're going to put serving God ahead of all these other things that come along. Guys, if you allow the standards of the world to get into your heart, they will corrupt your walk with Jesus. I listed some of them there. You can see those. Guys, if you allow those to get in your heart, they're going to corrupt your walk with Jesus. They're going to corrupt it. As a believer, we should talk different, we should walk different, and we should act different. You know why? Because we are different. We are called to be different. In Corinthians, it tells us, in Christ, we are new creatures. The old is gone, the new has come. Is there a newness about you since you became a born-again believer? Has it stayed with you your entire Christian walk? Some of us walk off the trail. I did it. But guys, God's going to have a way. He always has a way of bringing you back. He always has a way of bringing you back. And you can do it the easy way or you can let Him do it the hard way. But I can tell you this, if you're a child of God, He's not going to let you wander around in sin forever. He will bring His hand of discipline into your life. And He will get you where you need to be and where you really want to be deep down in your heart. I don't think anybody in their heart wants to be disobedient to God. If you do, then I don't think you really have Jesus living in your heart. But we get that way sometimes because we don't think about what we're doing, do we? We just do it. Everybody still with me today? Woo! Clap your hands if you're with me. All right. Amen. I just want to make sure y'all are still awake because it looks like I just wound up and threw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball right to a few people here. This like, woo, that ball went right by me. I couldn't even get the bat around on it. Guys, let me tell you something. I love y'all. And I'm not going to say anything to y'all that I haven't had to experience myself from right up here. I'm going to tell you, most everything that the Lord leads me to preach on is something I've experienced in my life at some point in time. And God wants us to just let Him have His rightful place in our lives. That's all He's asking. That's all He's asking, guys. We are different people. We need to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus watch this? Would Jesus listen to this? Would Jesus wear this? Would Jesus say this? Listen to what I'm fixing to tell you right now. Guys, you can't be a Christian if you don't live as Christ. You hear what I'm saying? You can't run around calling yourself a Christian if you don't live as Christ. If Christ is not living in you and you're not striving to do the things that He taught us to do and that He showed us how to do, only you can answer that question, guys. I can't answer it for you. I can only answer for myself. And I know there's some things that I need to get moving in the right direction in my walk. My walk is not where I want it to be. I think it's a pretty good walk. But there's still areas I want to improve in. Guys, we got to ask ourselves that question. Guys, our mottos as believers should be this: I won't let the world change me. I am going to change the world. I'm not going to let this world change me and transform me into thinking and doing and acting like the rest of it. I'm going to help change the world. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this, because I know nobody would want to raise their hand to what I'm fixing to ask you. But I want you to think about it. How many of you live a different life when you walk outside the walls of this church? How many of you are simply in here today checking off your bucket list, and when you walk outside the walls of this church, you enter into a different lifestyle, you enter into a different way of thinking? Because guys, I'm telling you, God wants your whole process. He wants your thought. He wants your speech. He wants your mind. He wants everything about you. And my next question is this. When you talk to people throughout the week, at school, at work, throughout just meeting in public or whatever, are you making a difference? Are you making a difference in someone's life by talking to them about Jesus? Because guys, in the end, that's what's important right here. I'm going to tell you what, some of us are leading a mixed life. We are saying we're godly, we're saying we're holy, but yet some of the things we say to other people and some of the things we communicate to other people show that we're anything but that. They would not see Jesus in us on a regular basis. But guys, I'm telling you, that's what He wants. You know, when you're talking to your friends, say something about Jesus. Don't talk like the rest of the world. Don't think like the rest of the world. Because I'm going to tell you what, this world offers you nothing. This world offers you nothing but defeat. You will be defeated if all you're doing is serving this world. You will rejoice if you're serving the Master. Amen. You will rejoice if you're serving Him. Guys, You can't live a low life and expect to reach a high heaven. Amen. You can't live a low life and expect to reach a high heaven. Our speech should be above reproach. Our thoughts should be above reproach. I know it's difficult when you have to hang around people that don't say and talk and act the way they ought to, but that doesn't mean we have to, does it? That doesn't mean we have to talk like them and engage in conversation like they would. No, we're to try to help them get above that. That's what I'm saying, guys. If you're reaching for Jesus, you're going to try to bring other people with you. You're not going to just try to get there yourself. You want other people to come and join you. That's what my prayer is, guys. In closing this morning, I want to just ask you this. How do you keep reaching for Jesus? I think it's very simple. You got to keep Him in your heart and keep His holy standards in your life. It's very simple. You got to do those things. And you've got to do them consistently. We get inconsistent as believers sometimes, don't we? Oh, we're good one week. We'll go to a revival. We'll get charged up. We'll come back. We're ready. We're going 2 or 3 weeks. And then, there goes our spiritual battery. It's on dead. And we're not charging it up. Guys, I said it before. I'm going to say it again. If you're not getting in this book every day, then I can guarantee you there's something in your life that ain't going right now. Am I wrong? If you don't get in this book and you don't read this book and you don't live by this book and you don't meditate on this book and you don't pray each and every day, I guarantee you there's something in your life that's missing right now. It's so simple, guys. Take a few minutes. Get in God's Word. We'll give Him time for everything else, but when it comes to opening His Word, oh, I just don't have time. I'm too tired. Oh, you ain't too tired. You'll go home and watch TV for 3 or 4 hours. You'll go home and get on your phones for 3 or 4 hours. You'll go home and get on the computer for 3 or 4 hours. Don't tell me you're too tired for Jesus. Get His Word out. Learn what He wants you to learn. Be what He wants you to be, guys. And I can promise you this. You keep Him first, and you'll keep reaching for Jesus. You won't get there until you get to heaven, but you're going to keep reaching. Every time you reach, Jesus moves up a little bit. What do? You move up with Him. You don't fall back down to the bottom and have to climb back up again. You keep moving with Him. Remember, Jesus is out there. He's out on the water. You want to get with Jesus, you got to get out on that water like old Peter had the courage to do. He said, Lord, if that's you, command me to come out here with you. Come on, Peter. There goes Peter walking across the water. While the rest of the disciples, what were they doing? Oh, God, it's a ghost. They were in the back of the ship scared to death. But guys, Jesus loves you. I want you to understand that. There's nothing you have done or will do in your life that is so bad that God won't forgive you for it. And He will restore you back unto righteousness if you ask Him. I ask you there, are you reaching for Jesus or are you grasping at straws? Think about that. Are you really reaching for Jesus and trying to get to where you need to be with Him? Or are you simply grasping with straws? I hope and pray that your focus is on the Savior. And if it's not been where it should be, I want to invite you, come up here to this altar and pray. This altar is for God's people to lay things down at His feet, to plead to Him, to cry out to Him, to seek help from Him, to pray for other people. I want to encourage you to come today and always keep reaching for Jesus. Amen. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for each and every person that's here. Lord, I just pray that if there's anybody here today, Lord, that needs to reach more for You, God, I just pray You'll touch their hearts. I pray, Father, that changes will be made, Lord, and I'm so thankful for everybody here today. Lord, I thank You for Your love for us. Lord, it's an undying love. It's an unending love. We can't do anything to make You love us less than You do right now. And I thank You for that, Lord. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, that we'll continue to share You with other people and not shed You. We will share You and not hide You. And Lord, we're going to give You the praise for every great thing You've already done today and will continue to do today, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
Hymn 423.
Hymn number 423. Let's stand and sing hymn number 423.